How happy is our grace, our grace that is his sins forgiveness. He promises not my place, I seek a place in heaven. Country far from mortal sight, yet oh, I think I see the land of rest, of saints divine, and every care for me.
Draw your attention this morning to Psalms chapter 30. We'll read the first six verses of this psalm. The word of the Lord reads, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. I don't mention hymns very often from the pulpit, and it's because even though sometimes when they come into my mind, when I end up trying to mention the verses of them, I get them wrong. And I'm not going to make a habit of bringing the songbook every time up here with me, but these particular verses from Psalm chapter 30 ring particularly true with one of the hymns in our song book, and it's hymn number 435, and especially the first two verses of this hymn that's titled, Hide Thou Me. And the words of this hymn tell us, sometimes I feel discouraged and think my life in vain. I'm tempted then to murmur and of my lot complain. But when I think of Jesus and all he's done for me, then I cry, O rock of ages, hide thou me. Says in the next verse, sometimes it seems I dare not go one step farther on, and from my heart all courage has disappeared and gone. But I remember Jesus and all his love for me. Then I cry, O Rock of Ages, hide thou me. If you'll catch what the common trait is between the first words of those verses and the ending words of those verses, is that they start off mentioning how down and out the hymn writer is. But then there's something that brings him back up and lifts him up. And that is that he thinks of Jesus, and that he thinks of how good the Lord has been to him. If the Lord would be with us this morning from the 30th Psalm, I want to point out some things that the Lord has done for us. Some not only things that the Lord has done for us, some things that He is doing for us, some things that He's promised that He will do for us. The psalmist David was a man. You know, so often whenever we read the Scriptures, we put these figures that were mighty men of valor, that were outstanding followers of God Almighty, and we place them up on a pedestal, and God forbid that we don't recognize the things that they did by the grace of Almighty God, and recognize that He blessed them, and He blessed them because they served Him with their whole heart. And God forbid that we would ever forget that. But I think sometimes we place them there and we forget that they were just men. You know, whenever we consider John the Baptist, what does the Scripture say about him? It said he's a man sent from God. He's sent from God. He's special. There's no doubt about it in the things that he preached and the comfort that he brought to those that awaited the arrival of their Savior Jesus Christ. It touched them deep. But never forget about the first two words of that description. He's a man sent from God. David's a man. David faced daily trials just like we did. You know, sometimes whenever we think about Jesus, make no mistake about it, He's Lord of lords and He's King of kings. But He was also a man. He was 100% man, and He's 100% God. And whenever we read about these men in Scripture like David, and we see the things that they faced, let us find ourselves in these things. What he's saying here is in this psalm that I've read to you this morning, is that he too was down. But there was something that brought him comfort. There was something that touched him in his time of need. And what brought him comfort and what touched him in his time of need was whenever he thought of what the Lord had done for him. The first thing that he says is that I will extol thee, O Lord. In other words, I will lift thee up. Why? For thou hast lifted me up. Whenever we consider what the Lord has done for us, if you have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, if you have His love in your heart, it's not because you reached down and pulled Him down. It's because He reached down and pulled you up, and He lifted you up. You're in a state given to you by your forefather Adam and by your parents. And people say, don't create tension between the house there, Brother Will, between mamas and daddies and children. Well, you know, each and every one of us have a common trait that every single one of us gave, that our mamas and daddies gave every single one of us. There are some traits that aren't common among us. My oldest son told me today, because I had on a short sleeve shirt and a tie, that I looked just like Papa. And I said, I act more like him probably every day, so I might as well start dressing like him. I might as well put on the short sleeve shirt and the tie just like he does. But you know, not everybody's daddy probably gave them that particular trait. But I guarantee you, every single one of our parents gave us something. And what they gave us was a nature of sin, dead and trespassing in sins. One that could not do anything to lift themselves up out of that state. Every single one of us stood in need because of what was given unto us. And by God's love and mercy for us, He lifted us up out of that state and brought us out of it. You and I didn't get ourselves out of it. Didn't matter. You and I have never been given a step ladder to climb. You and I have never been given a rope to grab. You and I have never been given a spirit that draws us from the point of you and I following it to the point that it's your and I's will that does it. Every bit of it was done by God, and He did it all. He's lifted us up. He's done that for us. You know, the Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, whenever the Apostle Paul is pointing out the foundational doctrinal points of the truth in God's work, one of the things that he tells that church is that there's some things that we've done together and collectively. There's some things that every era of grace has done collectively and together. One of the things that he says that we've done together is he says he hath quickened us together with Christ. And you say, Brother Will, does that mean that we're all born again at the same time? No, it does not. The first man that was born again was not born again at the same time that the last man will be born again. But whenever it comes to your position in the Lord Jesus Christ, every single one of us were given life in the same very way. And the Apostle Paul tells them that he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath what? Raised us up together. Raised us up together. And in other words, when Jesus came out of that grave, you came out of the state that you were in Him at that very time. Each and every one of us positionally in Jesus Christ did those things. And He lifted us up. He brought us out of a miry clay. He brought us out of a state that we could not bring ourselves out of. Jesus did that for us. Aren't you glad He did it because of things that you've done? Aren't you glad that it's based upon your merit? Aren't you glad it's based upon things that you've earned and that you can stand before Him and say, oh God, look at what I've done. God forbid that that would ever enter our minds, that you and I would recognize and say that the Lord has done it in spite of what we've done. You know, whenever we consider ourselves and whenever we know what we are and how wretched we are in the eyes of a holy God, how He can love somebody as far, just as far from my imagination as I can even place it. I tell you, my mind cannot wrap around that. And I don't believe any of us can until we get home to be with Him and we see His love and we see it in its fulfillment that day. And we see the love of our Savior as it was given unto us. I tell you, child of grace today, why will extol thee? Why? Because thou hast lifted me up. The reason why we praise Him is not because He needs us to. God forbid that we would ever look at Jesus and think that He needs a thing from each and every, from any of us. I tell you, the reason why we extol Him is because He's lifted us up. Because He's lifted us up, we lift Him up and say, thank you, God, for what You've done for us. I tell you, every once in a while, we just need a good dose of what the Lord has done for us. It does a child of God good to remember that the Lord is good to us. The Lord has been good to us. He's not only been good to us, He's good to us every day. As He'll point out here in just a minute as we look at what the Lord continues to do here in the eyes of this psalmist David. He says, I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up. You know, not only has He lifted us up in the new birth, think about the times that He's lifted you up when you were just down. When you were just down. You know, every one of us have been down. I don't think there's any of us that can claim that we've never faced trials in our life where we could say that we were down in our spirits. And we feel like everything that we've tried to endeavor in, everything that we've tried to prosper in, whenever we've tried to do what's right and it seems to continue to hit a roadblock, there's not a one of us that can't somehow find some kind of relation to that. You know, go with me over to the book of Ezekiel just a minute. And let's look at this servant of the Lord as he ministered, as the scripture would tell us, by the river Kabar. Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. You know, if you remember the setting of the opening chapter of Ezekiel, what you'll remember is that Ezekiel has been taken into captivity with the children of Israel to Babylon. You know, whenever you read through these books, if you'll remember, Jeremiah remained behind after the Babylonians had taken the children of Israel captive. And the book of Lamentations records Jeremiah's observations from Jerusalem, from home. Ezekiel's observations come from captivity. He was taken with him. And you can imagine the frustration and the downtroddenness that prevailed in the minds and the hearts of those children of God, of those children of Israel. Not, of course, we're not making a case that all children of Israel are children of God. Paul pointed that out in Romans chapter 9. They are not all Israel, which are of Israel, which plainly says that the nation, which teaches us that the nation Israel is a picture of something else. But nevertheless, never think that because they were in Israel, then that means that they were of Israel, of the Lord. But nevertheless, they gave us a picture of something of the Lord. And that those children had been granted a certain measure of favor by God cannot be doubted in the reading of the Scriptures and in the recording of God's Word. We cannot read through the Old Testament and not see that these were favored children, that they were given things by God that not every heir of grace enjoyed. They were given blessings of above measure in Israel. They were granted, if nothing else, they were granted the true worship of God in the Old Testament. They were granted a favor from God. And yet here they found themselves taken out of their homeland. You know, our homes are special to us, aren't they? I pray yours is. A home is a special place. It's a place where you gather to have fellowship with your children. It's a place where memories are made. You know, somehow, when November rolls around, if nothing changes between now and then, and I pray it doesn't, when November rolls around, we will have lived in the house that we're living in the longest that we've ever lived in one place before since Allison and I got married. We lived in one apartment 1 year, another apartment another year, townhouse 2 years, a house 2 years, a rented house 4 years. Whenever we get to the mark of 4 years and 3 months, we will have gone past the time that we've ever lived in one place. We left here last Sunday and we went by where we used to, that the Lord blessed us to be able to sell the house in Gwinnett County a few months ago. We went and we showed our children that house. It looks a lot better now than it did during those years. It looks a lot better under somebody else's ownership, I can tell you that. And it's not because we neglected it. It's just because I'm glad it's theirs and not mine anymore. But you know, as I rode by there, I couldn't help but remember things. That even though I knew I wasn't where I was supposed to be, and thankfully the Lord got me out of it, you know, there's still precious memories there. Our homes are flooded with memories of things that are near and that are precious to us. You know, whenever you consider what happened to these children of Israel, they were taken from their homes. The Scripture tells us in the book of Daniel that it was the best and the brightest of the land that Nebuchadnezzar wanted, and he took them back with him, and he tried in every measure that he could to turn every single one of them into a group of Babylonians. He did everything he could to turn them into the world. This place in which they dwelt was very different from their home, and that's where they were. Ezekiel was down about the conditions that they were in. He was downtrodden about what he had seen. But the Scripture says in Ezekiel chapter 2, you listen to the words that the Lord spake unto this prophet. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. What is it that David said? He said, I will extol thee, for thou hast lifted me up. Well, here the Lord tells Ezekiel, you stand up, and I'll speak unto you. Which tells me that he was so downtrodden that he was just flat of his back. That he was just flat in this world. That he was not up upon his feet. He didn't have his loins girded up under him. He wasn't ready for what the Lord was about to charge him to do. So he tells him to stand up. Now something tells me that he didn't get up. You say, what tells you that, Brother Will? The next verse. I hope I don't start now beginning to tell you that that something tells me something unless I can tell you that the Word says something. But the next verse tells me and tells us that Ezekiel didn't follow what the Lord had told him to do. He didn't stand up. He didn't gird himself about. He didn't get ready for what the Lord had called him unto do. But he says, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. You know, there's been times when even I know that there's a reason why I need to get up and get going, that the Lord has even I felt like just reached down and lifted me up whenever I didn't feel like I could lift myself up anymore. And sometimes it's been through the words of somebody else speaking unto me and saying, we depend upon you, and you're just down and out. It's almost as if you're dead and going to die and just going to leave everything that's left behind. Stand up and continue in what the Lord has called you to do. And I tell you, that's what he did to Ezekiel here. And that's what David is saying. I will extol thee, for thou hast lifted me up. Thou hast not only lifted me up in the new birth, but I tell you, there's been times when the Lord has lifted me up whenever this old boy was down. And I'll tell you, I thank the Lord for it. I thank the Lord for it. You know, I'm thankful that the Lord just doesn't let me just lay over and die like the old dog Rover. Just roll over like the old dog Rover. But that He continues to give me a reason to keep going. You know, we all need those every once in a while. You know, if you ever get to that point as a member of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, I tell you, you give your pastor a call, because I can give you several reasons why I need you to get up. I can give you several reasons why I need you. If nobody else in this world needs you, I'll give you some why I do. I need each and every one of you. There's not a one of you that I don't stand in need of. And I'd endeavor to tell you right now, if you think that you don't stand in need of one another, let me bring some news to you this morning. We all need one another. And we all need the Lord to bless us with one another and love shown one to another. We stand in need of that. We need one another. And so whenever we cry unto the Lord, and He said, whenever we read these scriptures, it says that David cried unto the Lord and said, "I will extol thee, for thou hast lifted me up." What we're doing is recognizing that the Lord has lifted him up and lifted us up many times. And we thank the Lord for that. I'll tell you, the end of verse 1 in Psalm chapter 30 tells us, the end of verse 1 says, not only has He lifted him up, but He says, He has not made His foes to rejoice over Him. And has not made my foes to rejoice over me. I tell you, I believe another thing that the Lord has done for us is that He's destroyed our enemies. And let me tell you this. As sure as God's word is with it, I'm going to keep that word in past tense while I try to talk about this subject. And I can't tell you that I won't veer off of it, and that I won't somehow speak of it in present tense to try to make a point. But you never forget the point that Jesus Christ has destroyed our enemies.
Yeah.
He's destroyed it.
Amen.
The things and the effects that we feel today and that we experience today are not from one that is trying to conquer. It's from a conquered foe. Do you understand the difference between those? The devil knows he's whipped. The devil knows he's whipped. You know, if you want to deal with somebody in a dangerous state of mind, you deal with them when they know that they're whipped. And buddy, it can get real dangerous. And you want to know why? It's like a dog that's been run over. You ever try to console an animal when it's been wounded? And what'll happen to you? You'll take the finest house dog, yard dog, whatever kind of dog you've got that you just felt like was your best buddy in this world. And you let it get run over, and then you go try to console him, and you'll find out just how close you are to that animal. Mm-hmm. It'll snap at you, and it'll try to bite your hand off. Is exactly what it'll do. Some of us have learned that the hard way. And if you've never learned it, you take my word for it. Some people say that there's no better way to learn than experience itself. There is a better way. Just take somebody else's word that has experienced it. And in the case of the Scripture, we're talking about God. And you believe what it says and you learn from it, as opposed to being hard-headed and wanting to learn it yourself. And whenever it comes to natural things, things that your mamas and daddies have been through, things that they tell you, don't say, "I want to go experience a rebellion myself so that I can learn it better." You take their word for it. And the same thing comes whenever you're talking about a defeated foe. In other words, they're fighting from a defeated position, and the only thing they can do is make it miserable for you. It's just make it miserable for you. You know, the Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the Lord shall reign until all His enemies shall be under His feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And you say, "Brother Will, I thought you said that everything was in the past tense." Has Jesus Christ not already conquered death? I believe that He has. And whenever we talk about one that the death that He will yet conquer, we're talking about the death of bringing us up out of those graves where we'll dwell unless He comes back first. It is the last one that He'll conquer, but He's already conquered it. He's already given us the proof and the surety that He has power over that death. And so whenever we deal with the devilish effects towards us in this world, you don't deal with it from the standpoint of thinking that devil thinks that he can take your life from you. Not your eternal life. He can take a lot of natural life from you, but he can't take it eternally. And he knows he can't. And because he's a defeated foe, he gathers to try to trouble you as much as he can. And to bring about as much trouble in your life as he can. But I tell you, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say what David says here. He says that thou hast not made mine enemies to rejoice over me. You know, it's one thing to be defeated. It's another thing to have you to have your nose rubbed in it, and to have it, you know, made worse to you. You know, David will say later on in the 37th Psalm, he tells us to fret not thyself for evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Why? For they shall soon be cut down like the grass. You believe that shall? I believe I'm preaching to a bunch of hard shell Baptists that believe in some shalls in the Scripture. You believe that shall too? I do. They shall soon be cut down like the grass. Why? Because the one that will cut them down is over all. And because He's over all, praise be unto the Lord, that death itself will not stand over us. Even though we, our eyes may close in this life and they'll put this body in the ground, our soul lives on because of the power of an almighty God to give life to that soul. You know, I like to compare things to try to bring, you know, most of us probably in some way or another watch some sports on TV. I believe we got, we began watching at our house at 7:30 in the morning yesterday morning. I thought to myself, this beats 8:30 at night. It suit me fine if they played them all across the ocean, if they play it that early in the morning, because then you can get into bed when you want to get into bed, as opposed to having something that you feel like you want to be watching instead of going to bed. Well, I tell you, you know, we can't give any biblical support. We can't give any biblical confirmation for defeats and conquerings whenever it comes to natural things here in this world. But I promise you, child of grace, by the word of God, that you and I serve one that's conquered the things that you and I are challenged with here in this world. He's overcome. There's not a temptation, there's not a trial that you face that you do not have a Savior on the right hand of God Almighty making intercession for God for you day after day that you cannot go to and Him know exactly what you're going through, because He too went through it in the flesh. He too went through it. That's what makes Him such a precious Savior for us. That's what makes Him such a precious Lord to us. Because there's not a thing that we can go to Him and say, "Oh Lord, You don't know how I feel. You don't know how it feels to be dejected and down." Sure He did. The Scripture says that He came into His own and His own received Him not. The Scripture says that He came unto those that were supposed to be looking for Him and they rejected Him. He knows what rejection is about. He knows what it's about whenever the Scriptures would tell us that they that, as opposed to following Him, would go and to do other things. You know, a lot of people these days, they see the, the challenges of living faithfully, especially young people here in this world. And, you know, a lot of us can get of the mind that, Lord, you know, You don't know what it's like, you know, whenever you're living among a group of people that have no interest in spiritual things. They don't have any interest in living faithfully. They don't have any interest in doing things godly. You know, and I don't know how, I feel like I'm alone. I feel like I feel like nobody knows what it's like to go through what I go through. I tell you, the Scripture tells us that whenever the Lord closed out one of His messages, the Scripture says that they all went to their houses. They all went to their houses. The Scripture tells us that He went to the Mount of Olives. The Scripture tells us that the foxes have dens, that the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay His head. You don't think He didn't know what it felt like to be alienated in this world? You better check again. You better read those first four books again and see that He absolutely knows what you're going through. And I tell you, the one that knows and the one that's tread those steps ahead of you is a good one to go to receive comfort in those times. You know, the Scripture tells us that the next thing that He does for us, says in verse 2, He says, "O Lord my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me." Another thing that He has done and that He is doing for us is He heals us. He heals us. You know, that's something that in this day and time, I think we take a lot of things for granted. And we certainly take that for granted too. You know, sickness in historical times and times past was a grave fear for a lot of people that lived. Enjoying a book right now on one of our American forefathers, John Adams. And one of the things that gets brought back to memory as you read through that is the diseases and the sicknesses that those people faced made them realize just how dependent they were on God to intervene and to heal them should they contract one of those grave illnesses. You know, we've got medicines abound in this day and time. You know, I know we've heard of a virus, you know, that's a mosquito-borne illness known as Zika, and we hear about it, and I know I've prayed that the Lord that the Lord would intervene and that He would bring a cure about that, or that the Lord would drive it out. But can you imagine some sort of illness? I don't know about you, but it seems like whenever I get outside and everybody else is just having a good time, they ain't bothering them, I get eat up with mosquitoes. We went over to Brother Stuart and Sister Sandra's the other night, and the kids wanted to play outside, and I believe they bit me some 10 times, and I finally looked over at Brother Stuart, and I said, "Are they biting you at all?" And he said, "They ain't bothering me a bit." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you take care of this out here. I'm going in the house." They just seemed like they just ate me up while I was out there. Well, can you imagine if the Lord does not intervene and that something is not found to think of the effects that could come of something so, you know, I know that health, they say healthy age people whose immune system is strong may be able to bear the virus, but children and elderly people, it could have a grave effect on them. So whenever we consider physical ailments, whenever we consider what the grave dangers that are faced therewith, I tell you, I'm thankful in the healing power of the Lord. I'm thankful that the Lord heals us whenever we are spiritually sick. Whenever we're spiritually down, the Lord heals us. The Lord grants us a measure of spiritual medicine and of some spiritual water that we need to drink from. You know, one of the things I heard somebody say the other day, and I said, "Boy, I'm going to use that." You know, one of the spiritual medicines that the Lord has given you that are here at the Lord's house today is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, one of the things that a doctor will tell you before they give you a prescription, what do they tell you? Whenever they write it on a piece of paper, they tell you, what do they sometimes tell you, "Well, take one today and then skip a few days and then take another, and don't take the whole prescription. Just take it till you feel better." Just take it till you feel. That's very rare what they'll tell you. What they'll tell you is, you take the first one and you take the whole dose. You take the whole dose of what it is. I remember because Sister Allison is a pharmacist, that was one of the things that she taught me early on. I would just take, whenever somebody would give me a prescription, if I had whatever it was, if I started feeling better the next day, well, I'd save that prescription till the next time I didn't feel good, and it'd save you from having to go back to the doctor, and I'd say, "This feels like what I felt like last time. You know, I can just take that one all over again and just take it a little bit, and maybe it'll make me feel better." She said, "No, whenever they prescribe you some medicine, you take the first one, and you take it all the way to the end." And you know, whenever you think about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, what we need it is from the beginning to the end. We need it from the first song to the last prayer. We need everything. We need the whole dose of the spiritual medicine that the Lord has given us. We need it to heal us. I don't know about you, but every once in a while this whole world wounds this boy during the week. I come to church wounded. I come in need of healing. I need those hymns. You know, I know sometimes we just get so caught up in sometimes the beat of the rhythm of the hymns, and we worry too much about it, whether or not it's two part or one part. What we need is to sing in unison into the Lord God Almighty, as He says in the very next verse, as He says in verse 4, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." We need that spiritual healing, and praise be unto the Lord that we not only get it, but that He's given it to us so much in the past. I tell you, I believe that the prayers of the saints of God have healed me. I believe it. I have confidence that whenever I beckon you for a need, that you remember me when you bow before the Lord and whenever you call upon Him. And each and every one of us need Him to heal us and to remember us. You know, these bodies, He designed them and He gave it an immune system. We have the capability in these bodies that He created to be able to overcome these sicknesses. But make no mistake about it, except He intervene at times and lay His hand upon it, there are things in this world that can overcome this flesh. There's things in this world that can overcome our spirit and our faith and our confidence in Him. But I tell you, let's pray and do as David did and cry unto Him so that He would heal us and so that we can say that He's done these things for us. I believe we can probably say He's done them already. But may the Lord, may it be our testimony that He's not done them already, just already, but that He continues to do them because we cry unto Him and He heals us. I tell you, the next thing that we read that He's done for us is that He's given us daily grace. He says in verse 3, O Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Thou hast kept me alive.
Yeah.
Thou hast kept me alive.
Amen.
That I should not go down to the pit. What has kept Him alive? It's the daily grace that God gives us that has kept Him to this point. You know, notice a little bit further down from where I ended reading, down in verse 9, the reason why David mentions why he was kept alive. He says, "What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise Thee?" You know, I believe, let me answer that question for David. Yes, the dust, even the rocks of this world can declare praise unto the Lord. Even the rocks themselves, you know, even in the formation of the rock and the geology, you know, every geologist that, well, I shouldn't say every, let me be careful before I group of people in a stereotype. Most geologists will attribute millions and millions of years to have what we have underneath our feet. Well, I tell you about a great God Almighty that did it in 6 days. Yeah. He did it in 6 days. If you don't think this dust and these rocks that are beneath our feet don't praise the Lord, they do. And the Scripture said that whenever Jesus came riding into the city upon the colt and the foal of an ass, the Scripture says that they praised Him. And He said, if you don't praise me, then even these rocks shall praise me. So David is asking a question. I know what he means by it, but make no mistake about it, the dust can praise God. But he mentions specifically, what profit is there if I go down into the pit? Shall the dust praise Thee? Shall it declare Thy truth? What is the reason why he says that? Is because rocks, you know, are part of creation. But you and I are created beings that have the ability to be able to declare the truth that the Lord has given us. What is the reason why he says he was given this daily grace? To praise God. Aren't you thankful that he didn't say that he was given daily grace? I'm thankful, Lord, that Thou hast given me daily grace so that I can do my own thing and so that I can center my life around myself and have everybody else to please bow down to me and cater to me and do as I want you to do. That's far from this word. One of the things that David's word will point you to each and every time whenever you read through these Psalms is a Christ-centered, Lord-centered, God-centered focus upon our lives. And that's the reason why he says that he was given this grace that was, Thou hast kept me alive. You know, James tells us in James chapter 4 in the 6th verse, he says, For he giveth more grace. For he, I can't remember how to start it. If I can get it started, I can quote it. But let me go read it because it's a good point to make whenever we're talking about daily grace, to distinguish daily grace from eternal grace. He says in verse 6 of James chapter 4, but he giveth more grace.
Yeah.
Wherefore he saith, he resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. You know what it means to be proud and to have a proud heart and to have pride? It means to have a self-centered life. And the Scripture says that he giveth more grace. In other words, he giveth grace, but he resists the proud, but he giveth more grace unto the humble. And so in other words, those that see themselves in need of that daily grace, he'll give you more and more and more of it. You know, whenever we use the grace and the blessings and the gifts that God has given us, whenever we use them, he'll be faithful to replenish them. But whenever we don't utilize what He's given us, the things that we've taken for granted, the Lord can take them from us and give them to somebody who will. You know, there's a multitude of New Testament examples that we could go to, of parable of the talents and so on and so forth, of when the Lord gave us something, He gives you that grace for you to use it. And if He's the one thou hast given, He says, thou hast kept me alive. If He's the one that's given it, He's given it to you so that you'll recognize Him as being the one that gave it to you. You know, we go through these things that the Lord has done for us. He's, you know, every time I bow my head, one of the things that I try to mention in my prayer is that I thank you, Lord, just for being so good to us. Just for being so good to us. When we consider what we deserve from God, the Lord has been so good to us. The Lord has been so good to us. Last one. I know there's more in this chapter, but I'm gonna end with this one. It says in verse 5. You know, I'm not trying. I went through these in order because the more I tried to classify them in my mind and try to itemize them and say which one is the most important, which one is the one that we stand in need of more and more. We stand in need of all of them. But I can tell you, don't let this last one, because it's the last one. And if I've lost you thus far, wake up for just a second, because this is a sweet one. This one's good. And we ought to everyone be thankful that the Lord has given us this. Read with me in verse 5. It says, for His anger endureth but for a moment. He's forgiven us. He's forgiven us. You believe that today?
Amen.
You carry weight on your shoulders that you've done something that you shouldn't have done. And God forbid that I would ever condone it. Because there's no condoning. He that justifieth the ungodly, he that condemneth the just, and he that justifieth the ungodly. Yea, they are both an abomination before God. In other words, it's not okay. I'm not going to sit here and condone it and tell you. But just be happy in your sins. You know, I'm not saying that my ministry does not need to evolve and grow over time. I'll be the last to tell you that I don't need to get better at some things. But the day that y'all hear me start to preach like that, y'all better declare that Brother Will has lost his mind, that he's more worried about hurting your feelings about sin than he is about telling the truth. God forbid that we would ever do it. The Scripture says here, though, is it reminds us of a forgiving and merciful God. It says that His anger endureth but for a moment. In other words, that it does not please Him whenever we do wrong. But make no mistake about it, for Christ's sake, He has forgiven you for that. You know, so often whenever we do something that we shouldn't do, we allow the devil to just continue to pop up and remind us, yeah, but don't you remember what you did? Yeah, but don't you remember what you did? Yeah, but don't you remember what you did? You know, I can tell you there were many reasons why I rebelled. And I mentioned this not to glory in it. Some preachers get all sideways if you go to mention things you did wrong and saying that you glory. I'm not glorying in them. But one of the things that continued to pop into my mind when I felt like the Lord was telling me to stand where I stand today is that, yeah, but don't you remember what you did? And yeah, don't you remember what you did? And you make no mistake about it, even though that blood, I believe, has cleansed it, I believe it's washed it, I believe He's set it as far away as the east is from the west. Until the Lord glorifies this body, this mind has still got some of Adam's parts in it. It's still got some of Adam's form to it. And it's going to pop up from time to time. But make no mistake about it, let the thought immediately follow it, that His anger endureth but for a moment. Because He's forgiven us of our sins for Christ's sake. You know, the book of 1 John tells us that His blood cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. I'm stressing the King James English, by the way, in case you're wondering, because God's blood did not just cleanse us, past tense, from our sins in an eternal courtroom. His blood cleanseth us every day, because what we need to do is be reminded that blood was shed for us, and that those things that He has set aside and departed us from, you and I should do the same with those sins and move on from them and serve Him with the precious truth that He's given us, that He's cleansed us from those sins. I tell you, the Lord has been good to us. The Lord has done these things for us. We need to be reminded of it. We may come at times where sometimes we feel discouraged and think our life is vain, and think that there's not a purpose behind it. Well, I tell you, let us be reminded that in times like that really it's not about us, it's about the Lord and what He's done for us, and that these truths can uplift us, they can comfort us, they can bring us to a place where we feel to be at peace with our Maker again. You know, there was more in this chapter, and you know, I don't even want to take away from them. You know, I said I didn't want to classify these. Let me not take away from those that remain in this chapter. But let me not wear the sheep out either and continue to go on into the afternoon. You know, the Scripture tells us that that Jesus said to feed my sheep, not to beat my lambs. In other words, whenever the time is up, to step aside. But if you'll continue to read past that point where I've closed today, there's a lot of other things that you'll read about what the Lord's done for you and what He continues to do for you day after day, and what He's promised that He'll do for you in the future. And I pray that you find the comfort there. And I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
How sweet, how